What's up, ear buds? We're back. Had to say it. What a year. You know, haven't recorded as many episodes as we wanted to, but we're here to launch this off into 2021 success. We're here to have our what I would consider our most fun episode, recapping our 10 favorite albums of the year. What's up, boys?
It's why we pod. It's just doing this episode, basically.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I think that's the only time I ever come on is for this recap.
Yeah, we just keep the lights on throughout the year and then have a really fun pre-holiday season episode and then come back in like March. We take like a, we do like a semester sabbatical and then we come back.
Between each episode.
Yeah, we just once a quarter, we're like, you know what, let's record for 2 hours and just get all the takes out now. Yeah, it's going to be a fun episode. Mark always on. And then we have our buddy Taylor on, who's been on every episode, as he just mentioned, of the top 10 recap. So this should be fun.
What's going on?
Maybe we do a little preamble to this is not a top 10 best albums of the year. We are not music critics or journalists. We are people that enjoy listening to music.
Smart people in general.
So these are our favorite 10 albums of the year. We're going to start from the very bottom, I guess is what you would say. We're going to start at 10 and go all the way down to 1, just in roundtable format. You guys have any preference on what to do if an album comes up that you also have but is further down your list?
No.
All right.
Also, we should add that we really don't give, even though Taylor has done this for the past couple of years, we give no guidance or direction on what a top 10 entails. And it's just like, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah, Taylor has always brought the reissues or like a collection of Bond soundtracks. I don't know.
I've never done that.
No.
That would be extreme.
This is the year. So let's start at 10. Let's start at the very top or bottom, I guess, however you want to describe it. I'll kick it off first.
Let the guest go first. Have some manners.
Taylor goes first. Let's let Taylor go first.
All right. Well, I cheated.
He's the guest.
I couldn't narrow down the last selection, so I just put Wolf Parade's album, Colt's album, and My Morning Jacket. Just any one of those three.
Okay, I don't have he immediately starts the episode with ruining the. All right.
I listened to them like 5 times each yesterday. I was like, none of these is actually better than the other. They're all just equal. So I'm not actually going to talk about them. Someone else can go.
What were they?
Wolf Parade, Colts, and My Morning Jacket. They're all just kind of hipster shit bands that were bigger like in the 2010s that kind of faded but are still making music.
Okay. Right on.
All right.
Mark,
now you can go, Nick.
All right, I'll go then. My number 10 is As Long As You Are by Future Islands. There are two songs specifically on this album, the song For Sure and the song Plastic Beach, that are probably two of my favorite songs of the year. Just in terms of they're very listenable. They've been on pretty much every 2020 playlist I've created of some kind of like indie pop or favorite songs, those two always find a way on there. I think this album checks all the boxes of a future albums record. Synth pop, fun, lovely lyrics, Sam Herring showing off the range. It didn't really stretch the band at all. It's exactly what you would expect, I would say. It's like in a year of uncertainty, it was nice to just like rely on this. It was very safe. It was just like, it is a fun album. So, yeah, As Long As You Are, Future Islands.
All right.
Well, as I was making this list, I realized, so we did kind of come together to do episodes on albums that we really liked, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of motivated us to get those episodes out. So a lot of these we've talked about before, but the With that said, my number 10 is something we haven't talked about. Little Griselda action, West Side Gun, Pray for Paris. Just a really fun Griselda album from what I understand, not people's favorite of the trio, but I think he's the most just kind of like fun ad-libby of them. So, yeah, it's good Griselda stuff.
I did not listen to that at all this year.
Fantastic Tyler verse on it.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's interesting. Tyler shows up on the Freddie Gibbs album as well, which is
There's a lot of overlap. Yeah. Which is fun. But yep, so that's my 10.
All right, right on. Taylor, back to you. Number 9.
Number 9 is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's most recent album, KG. I mean, if you've listened to these in the past, you know I love King Gizzard. This album is just, it's nothing special. It's just good. That being said, the song Honey is one of my favorite songs from this year. It's different than a lot of the stuff they've been doing recently. And for some reason on the album, when it kicks in, I think on track number 10 or 9, it just hits different when you're listening to the album straight, but the song itself is just awesome.
Is this an adventure into any new genre for the Gizzard Lizards?
No, this is kind of a return to like their normal bass. It just sounds
they very do King sort Gizzard. Of like, yeah, individual songs kind of like push in different directions, but I would say yes, more default King is there. I it's not on my list, but I just wanted to mention that there's been like ever since it released like some half form like joke or meme just like bouncing around in my head that has to do with Adam Sandler doing his Uncut Gems voice and just saying hey KG and there's like the album artwork is involved somehow. I don't know what else it entails, but
I like it.
I'd have to check out King Gizzard too. I would say of the three of us, I'm the least involved Lizard Wizard fan. But I'll check it out. I like them. They're usually on the Rock Out to Blackout playlist anytime I listen to King Gizzard is how I consume them. So that rips. My number 9, I think this is going to surprise you guys, is the album Rare by Selena Gomez. It's her first album in 5 years. I think the first 4 songs are maybe the strongest run of 4 songs on any album this year. So you have the title track, the song Dance Again, Look At Her Now, and then Lose You to Love Me, which was like probably one of the most popular songs in 2020. I think it was just a really powerful like finding yourself album, all about self-love, empowerment. I think it was a pleasant surprise in 2020. She kind of fell off the radar after her breakup with Justin Bieber, and then he launched his huge album, whatever that was, like 5 years ago. It was just a very, very pleasant album. My list is surprisingly more pop forward than I thought it ever would be. We've always kind of shit on pop music on this this podcast, but like when I was going through my favorite albums this year and favorite songs, a lot of them were from the big players that they all delivered this year, which was really, it was like a pleasant surprise. So yeah, Rare, Selena Gomez.
All right. My number 9 is more Griselda, but an album we did talk about, I think last episode, so I won't really say anything. Benny the Butcher, Burden of Proof, just like a fantastic New York sounding hip hop album.
Yeah, good record.
Yeah, I admittedly have only listened to it once, but I liked it. I was late on the train. Mark was making fun of me about that earlier, but yeah, good record.
The Butcher's coming. All right, Taylor, over to you.
Number eight, I had Mac Miller Circles. Normally not a Mac Miller guy, and this album is definitely messy, but the first 4 tracks on it, I love, absolutely. Good News was one of my favorite songs of the year, and it depresses the shit out of me. I mean, especially knowing how everything went down with him. That's very obviously just a cry for help, but yeah, it's a beautiful song. The high points of the album I thought were really good, and for an unfinished album is a lot better than I expected.
So my number 8 is also Circles by Mac Miller. So we can have a little longer discussion if you want. I would agree with those comments. The first half of the album, or even the first 4 songs that you mentioned, are very strong. They sound like songs that could have just been left off of Swimming. It's like very much the same headspace.
Yeah.
I would say is Swimming, like the songwriting is very similar. And yeah, it's obviously tragic knowing what happened now. And I will say, like, the first month or two of the year, I think this came out in January, like the first month or two of the year, this was on constant repeat. Once the world kind of went to shit, I would say, like, I didn't really come back to this very often just because it's very sad. It's just like, it was hard to listen to, like introspective sad music this year. Yeah. We're normally like, that's my shit. Like, I love that stuff. Like, I love, like, on your train ride home from work or something, like putting on something that makes you feel a little bit deeper after like a long day or whatever. But like this year was just like, yeah, like I had to give myself, you know, like something a little different. So super good record. I liked it. I would say for an unfinished product and like a posthumous album, it's hard to do a lot better than this. I think those are always clunky and very difficult to execute. So
I'd agree.
Circles by Mac Miller was my number 8 too.
Sweet.
Just dropping headphones over here. My number eight is not Griselda. I didn't go with Conway. Quite a pivot. Phoebe Bridgers, Punisher. I think it was last year when Nick and I both Oblivion really high up on our list, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that was last year.
So it's a lot of this songwriting that I like so much from that album. And she, just like the songwriting, they're kind of just like snapshots of life that I think are very interesting in that they grab you, but they're very simply written. And one of my favorite closing tracks of the year on it as well.
I didn't get to this album as often as I wanted to. So this would be an honorable mention for me, where like, I appreciate its artistic. I appreciate the album and just like never got to it enough. So it's like one of those things I've like made a note to myself in my head of like, I need to listen to this a couple times before.
I mean, yeah, it's a definite gear shift to I'm going to sit down and just like listen to very slow music for 40 minutes, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, and like it's so I have the Better Oblivion Community Center on vinyl, and there's like some nights, especially this winter so far, where I've like wanted to throw that on, and we'll get through the first song, which is about like knowing that you registering for a run is like not going to really help support cancer. Like, you know, it's like the first lyric, and I always Brittany will be like, "You got to turn this off. Like, this is way too sad." I'm like, "But this is such a good winter album." So it's, yeah, I need to sit with Phoebe Bridgers a little bit, which shout out her for getting nominated for Best New Artist.
I didn't see that. That's cool.
She's definitely nominated for Best New Artist, and social media.
Yeah,
she's been killing Twitter and social media. She's been
a bit of a blow up this year.
She did. Just like the Goo Goo Dolls cover, if Biden wins, and she's been trying to get to the other artists, are like Megan Thee Stallion and someone else is nominated that's similar to Megan. She's been like pining for like to have them all do like an album, like a song that's together. Awesome. It's like, yeah, very funny. Just she rocks. Great Twitter follow.
Yeah, she's awesome. So my number 7 is Karagben. Sure, I'm butchering that. Their album Mordecai. Thankfully,
that's close.
Yeah. The whole album is just kind of nice background music. It's very very weird. And I don't know how to describe it that well. And I tried to like do some research on them to figure it out. And just everything I found out is they're weirdos from Texas, basically, who like making world music. It sounds kind of like what I would imagine is playing in an opium den somewhere, but it's fucking good. It's nice and relaxing, and there's like, I don't know, it's weird as shit, but it's fucking good. And they're a weird band, but they're cool.
I feel like that would be on your, that's like the profile intro to your Spotify is weird, but cool. If anyone landed on like what you listen to, it's just like, this is weird, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anytime you've bought a vinyl album and like texted me a picture, it's usually like, this is some Brazilian band I found out 3 weeks ago. They're weird.
Yo, don't hate on Brazilian psychedelic music.
See, exactly. I'm not hating on it. I just, that rocks. I just saved it under my Spotify to check that out. So I definitely will. My number seven is the album Honeymoon by Beach Bunny. They're a Chicago punk rock, indie rock band. They shred. This has been in constant rotation all year. Very fun, like early spring album. Is kind of when this came out, February, I believe. Their two songs, Cuffing Season and Promises, are two of my favorite songs of the year. Definitely on my heavy rotation of punk rock. I don't really have a lot else to say. We talked about it on the pod, one of our first episodes of the year. This is a really, really good album. I wanted to find a place to make it higher up on my list. I just, I don't know. I couldn't. But it's very, very good. So that's what I have to say.
Yeah, that just missed the cut for me. But,
yeah, it's like,
excellent album.
It really does shred. Yeah, it shreds.
I was actually not on my list, but according to Spotify, it must have been my second most listened to album of the year. So I liked it.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was that and the Rosenstock.
Huh.
Well, it helps that the Beach Bunny one's like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's real short.
Yeah, well, it helps when they're 25, 30 minutes and when they come out in.
Yes. That's
it's like thing. I have an extra 4 month lead time to listen to this, like just even three extra times really helps at the year end Spotify Wrapped, which is very funny always. But
so we're at seven. Right?
We are Mark, number seven to you.
So this is another early in the year release. And this is, so you mentioned the Mac Miller and you having a hard time going back to it. This one, it took me a while to go back to it once the COVID stuff started, but that was like, oh my God, this album is so fun. And it just like brought me back to a time when we were all just like dumb and naive and unaware of what was about to happen. Lil Uzi Vert, Eternal Ataki, I'm going to pronounce it like that. I think he pronounces it wrong. Just like a very fun album where he like raps his ass off for the most of it. It's like very impressive, and I was not like, I enjoyed his stuff, but I would not like consider myself a huge Uzi fan before that. Really blew me away.
It's a super good album, and like you said, he raps his ass off, and this was on my, this would be my honorable mentions also. Yeah, and it's like similarly, it's like I would say before this year, neither of us would have considered ourselves to be Uzi fans, because most of it is like his Bad and Bougie verse. It'd just be like, yeah. Like, there's some bad Uzi. But yeah, this album's super good. So, well said.
All right.
So, hold on. Mark, what like got you back into it? Like, once the world...
Once the world ended.
Was it like... Yeah, I actually like saw midsummer somebody... where you just like, I need to like fucking rage alone.
No, it was like a month or so ago, and I saw somebody on Twitter like literally just like they tweeted like, I listened to Eternal Ataki for the first time like since quarantine started, and oh my God. And so I did the same thing. I was like, yeah, this rocks. Like, this makes me so happy.
All right, I'm gonna have to get back into it. There is something about music Twitter where it's like someone says something like that, and then you're like, all right, I'm gonna try the same thing, and then you feel, yeah, you definitely like,
yeah, and you just like wonder. I don't remember. It might have been like Larry Fitzmaurice or somebody. So like an actual like music writer, and you just wonder them like, I wonder if there's like a noticeable bump on like that artist's or album streams then in that week.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there are.
All right.
All right, Taylor. Yeah, hit us with number six.
For me is Run the Jewels. Run the Jewels 4. I thought this was actually better than Run the Jewels 3, which I think I had ranked higher a few years ago. I mean, the whole album sounds great. Obviously, they rock as people, but they're starting to get into that. They're starting to seem a little corny to me, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me getting older. The album overall was great.
That's correct.
Okay, that makes me feel better. But yeah, overall, it's really good. Sounds incredible. Also, one thing that kind of took me out of it a little bit is the song Ooh La La, which is kind of, if you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. And that was one that I liked from the get-go. I thought it was just kind of a catchy hook for as dumb as it is. But then I watched their Adult Swim live thing and watch the person have to actually say ooh la la like that the entire time and just felt bad for him. He felt so uncomfortable, obviously, and that kind of took me out of the song. So that's a long
story. Oh, they had somebody perform that part?
Yeah, Greg Nice came out and did that the entire time.
That sucks.
Yeah, and he obviously did not look comfortable doing that.
When did this album come out?
June 4th, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So real quick to Taylor's point about the corniness. So I do think they are like slowly heading that way, but I also think there is some sense of self-awareness.
Yeah.
About it, just because they know that they are like getting older. So I don't really have a big problem with it. And the music, like, I honestly cannot believe that this album is as good as it is 4 albums in. So shout out to them.
Yeah, I will. Let's just talk about it now because like we're talking about the album. This is coming up later on my list. I would agree that it's a little too like futuristic sounding. Like it's like they tried too hard to get over the edge on like a new sound, which has progressed from RTJ1 to RTJ4. Even RTJ3 gave you some of these beats that was like leaning towards this like very like space atmosphere vibe.
Yeah, I think the first two,
which is different than like the first two.
First two each had their own feel or sound to it, I think. And they both seem very cohesive. And then I think 3 and 4 also have a similar sound, but there's a lot of variation within the beats that kind of like throws you off throughout a listen. But I mean, whatever. It feels like a complaint because I think the second album is like one of my all-time favorite albums. So
yeah,
but it's nitpicky because we hold them to such a high regard as artists. Like they are like you go to them for an album that is gonna like is. It delivers on a higher level than like other things you listen to. So I think that's part of it. And I also think I really do think that this album was created with the idea of festivals in mind. Cause the song Ooh La La to me seems like a very fun festival song. Like imagine at like 10 PM at Lala listening to Ooh La La. It just like being like super smashed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, I imagine that some of these songs that were really bass heavy and, like, fucking strange and, like, all over the place, they would just be screaming in the microphone and, like, a party vibe. Like, I do think there's some sort of, like, commercial aspect to this album. But it does come up later, so I'm not gonna... I really, really like it. But it is a lot different than what we've experienced before with Run the Jewels.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my number six is Women in Music Part 3 from Haim. I don't really have like a lot of takes. Like it's a very, very good Haim album. It's classic Haim. It's like a very, very breezy, summery vibe. You know, Fleetwood Mac influences, very like 80s rock. Like they're just really good. Like I don't really have a lot else to say other than like this is a very, very clean Haim album. You know, we saw them last year. They headlined Pitchfork. They debuted some of the songs there. I think Summer Girl was one of them, which was it's a very fun album. Yeah, there's not a lot of critiques to say about indie rock music. There's only so much you can really talk about. So
what about women? Women?
I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm going to make a joke. Can I have the floor?
Go ahead. Do it. Do
women be shopping and being in music part three. Little Twitter humor.
Yeah. That. Yeah,
I'm glad I interrupted you.
I mean, I will say, like, shout out them for being. This is not, in my opinion, album of the year worthy. I was kind of surprised to see this get nominated for album of the year, but good for them. The glow up of the last 5 or 6 years, they rock. So. Yeah, good album.
All right, number six. I have, speaking of jokes, Tim Heidecker, Fear of Death.
Nice.
You really can't avoid doing the like opening line for every review or article about the album, which is Tim Heidecker is normally an absurdist comedian, but this album is not, is not that. But yeah, it's a really just solid kind of singer-songwriter type album. There's still like a kind of a hint of comedy to it, but more, you know, a little more serious than you would expect with, I think, Way's Blood is on just about every song for backing vocals, which is nice. Just great, great album all around. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I did not know that this existed, so I'm going to save this on my Spotify. Is there any appearance from Roy Dong?
No, I wish.
Any of the jazz got influences? The freak lips.
I see the freak all my lips.
All right, I'm going to save this right now.
Yeah, that album rocks. Tim Heidecker rocks. I just completely forgot about it for my list, but strongly like that one.
He is truly an American treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, also everything from I Think You Should Leave is a national treasure. Like that will those sketches will live in our like Twitter community generation forever. Like I'm nervous that my future children will like not like understand that humor and like not like it. And like the first time you show them like the hot dog scene, like they don't think it's funny.
I mean,
we're all trying to
You have to explain to your kids what the various porn sites you list on.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
Sorry, Taylor.
So yeah, just moving along. My number five album is Code of the Friends album, Everything. It's a little bit of kind of like frat rap, but at least he's not a white guy rapping. Yeah, he uses a lot of lo-fi hip-hop beats, which I know is a guilty pleasure of mine. I listen to that while I work all the time. But the album itself, everything's just light. It's good mood. And yeah, very easy listen. The song Everything that it ends with is super catchy. And every time I go to a restaurant and they ask what I want on like my sub or whatever, in the back of my head, I just start singing the song Everything, where the hook is I want everything. The album rocks. Super easy to listen to. It's fun.
You don't think about G Herbo? You don't yell at your waiter, bitch, and everything.
There's two kinds of people.
I just saved that as well. I like Code of the Friend. Very easy listening. So I'll check that album out. I never really got to that this year. So this is also like such a great episode for adding other things to your queue or like saved albums. Like I need to get to this at some point because there's just like so much music that gets released. I know that is like an obvious take, but it's so hard to listen to everything. Yeah. It really is. All right, we're on to number 5. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
All right, my number 5 is After Hours by The Weeknd. I had to include my sad boy Weeknd stuff here. He's probably my favorite artist of the last 5 years. I don't think that this was his best album at all. Early Weeknd is some real dark shit, which I love. but I like this album. Blinding Lights is one of the like most fun pop songs I've heard in a long time. So yeah, I thought I had to include it in my top 5. I was listening to this a lot this year. So yeah, After Hours, The Weeknd. It's also shocking how many streams he gets.
He's doing the Super Bowl, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing the Super Bowl, which is going to be, I mean, hopefully fun. He's got like that weird dark vibe to him. So like, hopefully he doesn't come out like all bloodied with like his hair chopped off, but you know, like whatever. So yeah, I love The Weeknd. That's definitely in my top 5.
All right. Number 5 for me, another one we've discussed at the way back at the beginning of the year. It Is What It Is by Thundercat. I think he's a favorite of all of ours. Just like, insanely talented in many different ways, and a good it's like well-written album that was written as he was processing the death of one of his best friends. So yeah, it's just like a very artistically driven and personal album that is also extremely fun to listen to.
Yeah, that's actually my number 4, so I've might as well just perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Good segue.
I love that album. Obviously, the single Dragon Ball Durag is such a fun, funny song. Music video is great for it as well.
I'm glad that
they included King of the Hill on there, which was originally released as part of like a Brain Feeder mixtape type thing. But yeah, overall, the entire album's great. Very easy to listen, and one of the hidden gems on it, I think, my opinion, is Fair Chance at the very end. That song is awesome.
Yes, I agree.
I
immediately put that on my favorite songs of 2020 playlist. Yeah. As soon as I heard it, that is a great song.
So, right. Oh no, that's it. That's
trying to make,
I mean, that is
off.
Pretty much all I had. So.
That's all.
Yeah,
that song rips. Thundercat is one of the best live performances I've ever seen.
Well, he also tours with just like equally as insanely talented instrumentalists for like supporting musicians. Like the drummer he had when we saw him was bonkers. I will never forget. Yes. Just like,
yeah,
like dude, I was slapped on the entire time. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, one of the better concert experiences we've ever had.
I will also suggest,
which, knock on wood, hopefully next year we can have some fun concerts.
I will also suggest anytime there's like a pod that you like kind of listen to or are aware of, if you see a Thundercat guest appearance on it, definitely check it out because he's just a weird, weird dude, but very funny.
Yeah, he is.
He's got some crazy stories.
He also on Pitchfork a few months ago released an album of him just talking about bass lines, and like that dude knows so much about playing the bass. It's absurd. Like he's just pulling out deep cuts and like breaking down technique and everything, and like besides just being a weirdo, he is someone who just understands how to play the bass better than anyone I've ever heard talk.
Yeah, he's at a cool intersection of sort of like hip hop and then like the modern jazz scene, where he gets a lot of like mainstream exposure like that, and is like a pretty, I don't know if down to earth is the right word, but like personable guy who also can like discuss like music theory while like then like jumping around to just like bullshitting whatever. All right.
I also very much appreciate that Jill's favorite album of the year was this, or her most played artist was Thundercat.
Oh, dude, anytime like I'm playing music, rocks. She tries to get me to put on Thundercat. So,
pretty Taylor, much, can you play a little Thundercat? No, I love that. All right, my number four is RTJ4. We've already talked about it, so I will skip on to.
Well, my number four is also RTJ4. Whoa. I just would just like to point out that I like it at the number four spot. But yeah, we talked about it. So Taylor, over to you.
Well, should we? Do you guys think it was a little bit of a disappointment then?
No.
In terms of RTJ4. Or like where you thought it was going to be at the end year end list?
No, I don't know. It's top five. Like I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to sustain greatness, and the fact that pretty much all their albums have made our top ten.
They're not branching out like that much from what they've been doing. Like we can talk about how you know like the albums have slightly different sounds, but it's still like the same. Very same subcategory of hip hop, and like rapping about the same stuff. So the fact that the album is like as good as it is, I think, is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that was actually the only.
There's so many.
All right.
I was just gonna say, there's only dick jokes you can cram into a song about like that also includes police brutality commentary. And like have it being a compelling list.
I mean, LP is going to push that limit no matter what.
running naked backwards through a field of dicks will go down as one of the greatest lyrics.
I know.
Yeah.
Is so absurdly funny.
Yeah, there that I'm not going to even bother trying to. It was just like some random Twitter account that like came out before the album. And I was just like, yeah, Killer Mike, like a whole verse about, you know, systematic failures and police brutality. LP, I'm going to talk about my great dick. Which I think kind of does shortchange what LP raps about. But the joke is very funny.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Top three.
All right, we're on to the top three.
My number three is J Electronica, A Written Testimony. Originally, when I started making this playlist, or not this playlist, this year-end list, I thought that was going to be like my number eight or nine, but the more I listen to it, that album is just masterfully done. I don't care that it took 10 years for him to actually release an album. It's timeless. I think in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it'll still be relevant and will sound great. The Jay-Z features are some of his best work in the past 15 years. I would say possibly better than 444 or 444, whatever. I love this album. I think it's just, I mean, it's not light listen at all. But it's very interesting. And then also doing my research on it a little bit, I found out that one of the songs they sampled was a Krongbin song, and they left it so much intact that Krongbin is technically the producer of the song, which I think is funny. And also I found out J Electronica broke up like a power couple in England, which is funny too.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. That album is just outside my top 10. Very, very good.
I didn't listen to it. This was a huge omission on my part. Yeah. And like I said earlier, it's like impossible to listen to everything. It's been on my saved albums in my Spotify for 8 months since this came out. And it's just like, I never get to
it. I don't know if I should say fun, but that's something we should do after we go through all 10. Be like, okay, omissions or albums that we feel like we didn't listen to enough. That, because when you
see the
publications of like, you know, top 10, and granted, those are a lot like NPR and Pitchfork are sourced through like, you know, like a 10 member staff, right? So you get a lot of different opinions and stuff, and just like more hours to listen to music. But there's still like so much that you're just like, yeah, I listened to that one, or you know, yeah, missed that one.
There's so many, and like, yeah, even for like us, it's like I go on to the new releases. I try to see who released new music on Fridays. I like save the album and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get to this like sometime the next couple of weeks. And like somehow 8 months goes by and it's like, oh, I got to remove that download. Like,
I mean, if we were paid,
or
sponsored to do this, I'm sure we would get to them all and have excellent commentary.
Wait, you guys aren't getting that Casper money?
Sure.
Not yet.
That's right.
It's hard when you record once every 3 months. 2021 is going to be a different year. I keep saying it, but it's going to be we're using this as a launching off point. I feel good about it. My number three, I think, is going to surprise you guys a little bit. So my number three is Plastic Hearts by Miley Cyrus. Probably neither of you listen to this.
Correct.
But Miley has bounced around different genres basically since she was like a Disney star. She's done lots of different stuff. She lands on this album on like a 70s rock and roll vibe, and it absolutely rips. She has Billy Idol on here for a feature, Stevie Nicks, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. It is like just a very, very incredible 70s rock and roll album. From someone who's like been in the spotlight since she was 10, I think is like just a very, very cool trajectory of adulthood, and like where she is now as an artist. It would have been very easy for her to sell out after Wrecking Ball and basically become like a pop megastar and just deliver hits over and over and over again and like make them as much money as possible. And she just hasn't done that. And like, it's a super, super good album. So I highly recommend this. Midnight Sky is one of my favorite songs of the year. Yeah, just shred. It's like a really cool 70s rock and roll album.
When did that come out? So, I was not even aware that she released an album.
It came out just before Thanksgiving or like the day after. It's I think November 25th. So it hasn't been out for a long time. So I would highly recommend just checking it out. I think it may be part of it being this high for me is like it's super cool to hear an artist that was like traditionally like a pop megastar go so differently into a new direction and like not make it suck. Like it's pretty good and it's really fun. So Plastic Hearts.
Have to say, I've always thought Miley Cyrus has an incredible voice and she doesn't get the recognition she deserves as just being a very talented musician who's willing to try new things.
Oh, 100%. She's got an incredible voice. I think she has an insane like ear for music, but like she's always been pegged as like the Disney child star, and she doesn't, and her dad was a pop star, so like she doesn't really get the same like leeway that other artists do to branch. Like, I don't know, she doesn't have the runway, I guess, to like go do stuff. So, or she could have done the opposite. She could have been like the pop megastar and like just sold out, and she hasn't done that. I don't know. I was very surprised after the first couple of times I listened to this to be like, yeah, this is like in my top three.
All right.
Yeah, it's very good. That's all I gotta say.
All right, my number three, Soccer Mommy, Color Theory. Just an album that, first and foremost, rips. Oh, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's a very jammy listen. There's a lot of catchy songs on there with good riffs and hooks. But also the way she discusses stuff like depression and loss is very, she does it in a very unique way, I think, that it's really very moving and, just like describes it in a way that you don't necessarily think about all the time.
So one thing that I was telling Jill, over the past few years, there have been so many good sad girl bands come out that have just fucking rocked. Where if I have a daughter someday and she's not listening to really good sad girl music like Phoebe Bridgers or Soccer Mommy or that type of stuff, I'm going to lose my shit and just sit them down and be like, you have to listen to the good stuff.
Pretty much, if you're going to be sad, you have to listen to this.
Well, because it's still...
You're going to watch Christmas with the Cranks, and you're going to listen to
Soccer
Mommy.
It's still, like, the perfect music for, like a mid-afternoon set of just, like, sitting in the grass, like, overpriced beers and, like, watching them on stage during the summer. But, yeah, like, just, like, fantastically written.
Yeah, I agree. It's good.
I think she's super talented. So I am looking forward to her trajectory as an artist. She's very, very talented. And I was bummed we didn't see her last year at Pitchfork. It overlapped with
Pusha T. That's not like a decision I regret, but it sucks that we had to make that decision. Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's like not. Yeah, like exactly. Like it's not a decision I regret, but like I would have loved
as much
to see Soccer Mom.
As much fun as
it sucks that
I sitting in the grass with
just
a couple
like,
beers watching Soccer Mom. It would have been, just like jumping up and down watching Pusha T was awesome.
Yeah. Pulling up in that new toy. Yeah, just like it was very fun. Yeah, 100%.
Number two, all right, Taylor, Freddie Gibbs and the Alchemist, Alfredo. This album just start to finish was incredible. I love Freddie Gibbs, and also this album and quarantine made me do a deep dive on The Alchemist, which I never have, and realize that he's responsible for so much music that I love, including he produced some of Jay Electronica's album. Just like I said, start to finish, this whole album was great. The Tyler feature on this was one of the better Tyler verses of the past year and a half, in my opinion. Everything just sounds great. Also, I found out in my research that The Alchemist started with a boy band with Scott Kahn, who's, what is that, Steve Levin from Entourage, which rocks.
Damn. Yeah, The Alchemist has had his fingerprints on a lot of hip hop stuff for a long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I got for that. Nick?
Yeah, I really like Alfredo. It didn't crack my top 10, and I think. It was hard for me to listen to over and over and over again, but it is very good. So I'm happy he got nominated for Best Rap Album. I do agree with you that the Tylerverse is one of the better, like, rap verses of the year. It's a very, very good feature. So that's my take on Alfredo. I think Mark may have it on this list. We'll see. Yeah. So my number two is Folklore by Taylor Swift. I've never put a Taylor Swift
album on our top 10. Pretty sure you put 84 or whatever.
No? Okay. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. No. we'll go back and listen to the tapes. I don't believe so. This surprise album from Taylor was a very, very good quarantine listen. It goes back to a lot of the, like, very early Taylor Swift, like, hopeless romantic love vibes, but has, like, an indie rock feel to it. So it's not overly produced. It's not made for radio. It's not got a ton of, like, these crazy features that, like, ruin the song, because it's, like, not to say Kendrick Lamar ruins the song, but, like, I don't need Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Swift to, like, do a song together. You know, like, it's just, like, two artists. I don't need mashed up together. And it was just incredible. There's a couple of Cardigan in the one or two of my favorite songs of the year. It gave me a lot of vibes and feels from my favorite album of last year, which was Norman Fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey. It was that very, like, soft indie rock vibe. And it's a version of her songwriting and performing that's, like, closer to what I said, like, her earlier career, which I think was when she was at her best and not kind of, like, I shouldn't say at her best, maybe her most artistic, which I really That's like. Fair. So Folklore is my number two.
The song Exile with Bonnie Iver, or Bony Bear, however you want to pronounce it. That song rips. Anything he touches is great. And the fact that he's willing to work with Taylor just is awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, and I think most of this also was written with The National.
Behringer.
Whoever, right? Oh, man, it's going to escape me. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Which is super cool. So, yeah, I think Bon Iver is great. I think whenever she does that, like, better weird, like, indie rock stuff, I actually think she's just, like, a really good musician. And, like, she's been pigeonholed, but she, like, always does this, like, pop shit, and, like, yeah, like, it makes her a shit ton of money, and, like, they're really fun, like, breakup songs that get played on the radio, but, like, I actually think she's a really talented artist, and this is a great album. So yeah, that's my take on number two. It was a shock to me, though, when I was putting this list together. I was like, I have Selena Gomez, I have Taylor Swift, Miley Cyrus. I'll be honest with you, Dua Lipa just missed my playlist. Or my top 10. Future Nostalgia is really good. It sounds like the first version of Lady Gaga. Like, it is a great album. It was my number 11.
My number two is Earbuds King, Jeff Rosenstock, No Dream. This is one that we went very deep on. So listen to that episode instead. It just shreds, and he covers all the stuff that you want Jeff Rosenstock to cover in a very not angry, but, like, pissed off, tongue-in-cheek manner. It rocks.
Yeah. I love that album. Just outside of my top 12, technically, I guess. but... just for me, I can't listen to a ton of Jeff Rosenstock after being in a certain mood, but he's awesome. He rips.
I think he absolutely shreds, and I will. This is, like, an interesting. I don't understand, like, why my brain does this, but I loved Post, this last album, so much. That, like, this could never have ever lived up to, like, the same.
I mean,
like, musical.
I think this one experience is way more re-listenable.
Wow. Okay. And I don't know. It's just like, maybe just like the way that I don't know. For me, it was just like, I love No Dream. Like, this is a great album, but I just like, every time I was just like, I just not, I don't know. It was different. And it could have been like Time of Our Lives. So we listened to Post, and like this for me this year during quarantine, like, was not it, but, he rocks. I shouldn't say it's not it. He rips. Like, this is a very, very good album. And I'm very excited for the rest of our
lives. He's one of those artists that no matter what, if he's playing in Chicago, I'm going to find a way to be there.
Yeah.
Yes, that is hands down the most fun concert experience I've ever had in my life.
Which,
yeah, that's another, you get those tickets somehow.
Yeah. All right. Number one. This should be no surprise to you guys. Number one, and I can talk for an hour on this. The Gorillaz' Song Machine. So I'm a huge Gorillaz fan. And this album is, I think, the most self-actualized the band has ever been, which I know it's not even really a band. It's really just Damon Albarn. But at its core, the Gorillaz, the whole conception of the Gorillaz was he was trying to get kind of rap features, but bringing in different styles of artists. So you get a lot within the rap community, you get a lot more people doing features, jumping on songs, but you don't get that as much in rock and roll. I know I sound super old saying rock and roll, rock, but I mean, Damon Albarn,
rock is, and roll, baby.
If you don't know, super famous from Blur back in the 90s. Blur is an awesome punk band. And then he just thought of like, hey, well, if we start bringing in other cultures' music and incorporating some punk to that, some hip hop. And this album is the most actualized that has ever been, in my opinion. The features are incredible.
They have Elton John on there.
Yeah, which also Elton John now sounds so much like Sam Herring from Future Islands. I was very confused the first time I listened to that. But it also has Robert Smith of The Cure, what's his name? Peter Hook from New Order and Joy Division. That song, Aries, fucking rocks. That's possibly my favorite song of the year. But he brings in Beck, Schoolboy Q, St. Vincent. The song Desolé with, I'm going to butcher her name, Fatou Mada Diawara. That song is awesome. Like, it grew on me so much. Even Momentary Bliss, which was like the first single on it. Just the general
slow
message.
Slow tie.
So it's Slow Tie and Slaves. And Slaves is just a fucking band from Sacramento that rock as well. Whole album's incredible. It's fun to see not even just different styles of music, but different legends of music working together with some new artists. He fucking brought in Tony Allen for one of Tony Allen's last songs. And like, because of this album, I looked up Tony Allen, and he's this incredible drummer from Africa who's worked with like Fela Kuti, Hugh Masekela. He worked with Thelonious Monk for a while. Like, just insane names that we don't listen to as much in America, but then you listen to their music and it's incredible. It's a great way to like bridge people who listen to the Gorillaz if they start looking up these famous artists who most of us don't really listen to, and opens doors to new genres of music.
How about this one? Tony Allen and Skepta. He hasn't seen a shutdown like that since his Grit and Grind days.
I knew there was going to be so many jokes there.
Man's never been in Marquee's shutdown, eh? This is another album I did not listen to this year, so I just saved this. Do you think, and I appreciate all of this about gorillas and how they like bring all these cultures together. Is this like a better executed version of Humans? Because that album to was like trying to accomplish this. And it's just because like,
yeah, this one feels like it's not really trying nearly as hard. It feels a lot more effortless.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's just, it is like, they just like made fun songs with like the people that made sense, as opposed to like cramming in Vince Staples and Popcorn, Danny Brown. Okay.
Pusha T. This one still flows as an album. I do have one question.
All right. I'm going to check this out.
Very, if you don't know the answer, because I don't think most people do. Is there like, I guess even before this album, is like the Gorillaz lore still going? Like,
so I think
it's all usually through the music videos, right? And I haven't watched any
of those. The lore, I think, is unofficially dead with Humans. Humans was the last.
There's
time.
Like some like haunted house aspect to Humans.
Yeah. They didn't really do that with the Now, which isn't really shocking, because the Now, he usually does this where he creates one full album and then does like a second album that's pretty much just him that he sneaks in shortly afterwards. That's usually not as good, but the Now kind of like saved him, I think. this one, it really, that album rocked too.
Yeah, I like the Now.
Song Machine, it is literally good. Just they go in the studio and they fuck around and make something that's fun. Every song, there's just a better energy about it than there was with Humans. And the music videos for Song Machine actually kind of rip, because it's really just the artist fucking around doing whatever, and then they like throw in the animation. So,
okay. That does answer my question then.
Yeah.
Okay. My number one favorite album is Stockchild Wonder by Nox Fortune. Dude, it is so incredibly fun to listen to. And I think this is a product of what this year has been, the lives we have to live right now. Like, this for me this year delivered on like a lot. Like, just we're taking the dog for a walk, it's like a really fun 40-minute listen. If I'm going grocery shopping, a 40-minute fun listen. Like a Friday night, if I just like,
are you okay?
I'm alone by myself, I need something to like party to.
I'm glad you brought a take of that scale.
I'm great.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I feel great personally, but like this for me this year was like the album I needed. Like, then this is like the opposite of Circles by Mac Miller. Like, it's one of my favorite albums. And I think if this came out last year, I would have loved it. Like, it was like a whole different year of like consuming music. Right now, it's like you're stuck alone. I can't see you guys. Like, we're not allowed to like hang out or like go see concerts. Like, you just, it's a whole different way to consume music. And this year, like, I don't know, Stockchild Wonder is great. Gemini is like one of the like most fun songs I've ever heard. I think that this is a must play at my wedding. I've already told the DJ, you have to play Gemini. Just like it's a very, very fun album. It's like not, potentially like artistically better than the other nine I suggested, but, it is my favorite. It's what I've listened to the most. I know Spotify has kind of told me I was like really into Rush this year, but I feel like I listened to this a lot. Stockchild Wonder, Nox Fortune. He's a Chicago, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know who that is, Chicago producer, an artist. He's incredible. He's worked with Chance, Joey Perp, Commies, like some of our favorite Chicago rappers and artists. He absolutely rocks. So Stockchild Wonder is my favorite album of 2020.
That is also kind of nipping at the heels of my list. So yeah, there's definitely a looming album that is not going to be mentioned that we'll have to touch on. that is on like near the top of a lot of lists. But so my number one, if anybody has logic skills, can deduce from what was said earlier, Freddie Gibbs, Alfredo. It's interesting that you said that it's not an album you can listen to a lot, because I think it's the exact opposite. It's like so digestible for me. It's digestible as a good dish of Alfredo. But it serves as like, it does feel like Freddie Gibbs really honing, and oh my God, he was so open. I'm watching the Packers game. Really like honing his like artistic vision even further, which has been really cool to see, because he has been just working. He's doing these projects that I love that are, and I think hip hop should see more of it. Just one rapper and one producer for a whole project.
Yeah.
I think is fascinating, because you get to like really see
down. I think it's very fun.
Like, kind of play off each other and explore different sounds of still like a very cohesive whole. But so it's there's that aspect where it feels like one of the final stages of like a Freddie Gibbs growth. And then there's also the cool escapist aspect, because you know, putting a real pin on the 2020 thing is like a good year where you want to listen to escapist music, right? And yes. I think a lot of people, in our situations at least, listen to hip hop as sort of like some sort of escape. But there's a second layer of where Freddie Gibbs is almost doing this like escapist, the sort of like mafioso type thing, which I think is really. Like the whole like mafia type vibe to it is fascinating to me, because it's executed so well and it's just very interesting because it's a weird thing to sort of like glorify from that angle, because Freddie Gibbs like is legitimately like more badass as a real person than like anybody from The Sopranos or Goodfellas or anything. But yeah, just like an awesome album.
Also, I couldn't find the clip to send to you guys earlier, but he was recently on the Eric Andre show for America Rapper Ninja Warrior, or whatever they call it. Very funny to see.
Incredible sketch.
Yes. Yeah, it was great. Just him chasing around Eric Andre with a cattle prod was incredible.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. So that's that, right?
Yeah.
Are there any? So I have a big elephant.
Yeah, that's our favorite 10.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, you want to do elephant in the room, and then let's do like honorable mentions, like a brief like 20-second comment on like things that you really like this year but didn't crack your top 10.
I listened to it like the day it came out, and I was like, yeah, that's a really good album. I like that, and I just didn't listen to it ever again. I almost just said Phoebe Bridgers. No, Fiona Apple, Fetch the Bolt Cutters. It's getting so much love on your end list, and I was like, yeah, it does. It is good. I listened to it once, but it's hard. Listening habits are, yeah.
I didn't listen to it. This is like one of those that like now at the end of the year, when you see the list, I'm like, what did I do? I just never came across my like listens. So yeah, I didn't listen to it, but it seems to be everywhere. So like, I have to listen to it. I'm a little shocked it didn't make the album of the year. Like the way that people are like ranking it and I'm shocked that the Grammys didn't like put this up for best album.
You know, music Twitter. Only
that's so like I saw the angry tweets. So, like we shit on the Grammys a lot. Yeah. Yeah. Like, they we should on the Grammys.
They
lot,
are going in like, the right direction.
It seems like most people love this. 100%.
I listened to it once.
Yeah, Taylor, did you listen to Fiona?
It's like, what, one of those take? Things. she's just one of those artists
so
that,
two,
like,
two total listens
I respect
across the pod.
Everything that she's doing, but I just, I can't get into her music. It sounds shitty, but.
It's also, like, very fair to say, just, like, yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Which I think might have been, yeah, like, my case is. It's like, yeah, this is a good album, and it just, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't go back to it. And I think that's why you get, because we keep referencing these, like, year-end lists that are put together by, you know, a handful of people. They're all, like, collaborating and trying to be inclusive as possible, and we're just like, dudes rock. Let's do it. Yeah, any honorable mentions then that didn't get brought up?
Yeah, I have a couple that I really do want to mention because I think they're really great albums and they didn't make my list. And one that I do kind of want to talk about in terms of 2020 year end lists that I don't like, but I do want to like discuss. So for me, like honorable mentions would be, I said earlier, Future Nostalgia by Dua Lipa, I think is a super fun pop record that could have been like taken from 80s disco vibes. Very, very early Lady Gaga in this album. It's really, really, really good. The album Starting Over by Chris Stapleton is a really, really great country record. It's super personal. I think he has one of the best voices in country music. I know you guys aren't like big country people, but this is a really, really personal, heartfelt country album, which is really good. The album Shore by Fleet Foxes was a near miss from my top 10. Super easy to listen to. Great album. Fleet Foxes are great. They're not like a band that I would ever like want to see live though, which like we ran into a Pitchfork last year, the year before. It's like, they were
headlining
at night. It's like, we can just leave. I don't want to spend the next 2 hours of a Saturday night listening to this. Like it is a vibe. It's an afternoon vibe though. So they had a great album.
I got a few at the end, but
I'm just gonna keep going unless Taylor, you want to interject. So. All right. Do You Wonder About Me by Diet Sig is a super fun punk album. Like punk indie rock. They're a New York punk band, Diet Sig. Heavy Light by U.S. Girls, really great album. Their song Four American Dollars is like, how far does Four American Dollars stretch you? And it's like a really funny song about just capitalism in the United States. And my last one I do want to comment on is Waxahachie by her album St. Cloud is a really incredible indie rock album. That just like didn't make my top 10 because I just haven't listened to it.
Yeah,
to feel
it,
like
that
it's
hits
like
the
one
sweet
of my favorites,
of
but it's really
like,
good.
That kind of overlap of like, I think there is like, it's like neo country, like neo soul country, like that kind of like indie rock country vibe. It just like hits it perfectly for me.
Oh, yeah. It's like a very afternoon music festival vibe that's like potentially a little bit like twangy. It's not even twangy. It's like
she
just
has
like
an
a little
accent, so it's country.
It's a little bit exactly. So that album rocks. I have one that I want to talk about at the end of this that like songs or albums that I think stunk.
Well, the first one I
want to
bring up,
by, but we'll get to that. So Taylor, you go ahead.
2020 release is a late 2019, so I couldn't put it on the list, but I just discovered it this year. Run Home Slow by the Teskey Brothers. If you don't listen to the Teskey Brothers, they're fucking rad. Australian R&B soul singers. Closest sound to Al Green that I've heard in a long time. It's great for just like date night cooking dinner type of music. Just very easy listening. great soul music that came out late in 2019. So strongly recommend them. Besides that, kind of honorable mentions of Montreal, Your Fun and Tennis, two like 80s pop type albums. Very fun, easy listening to. And then just the last one, which is kind of gross. That's a guilty pleasure. Nick Waterhouse's live album at Pappy and Harriet's. It made me look up the music venue Pappy and Harriet's, and I want to go there. It just seems like a hipster dream. But B, his version of L.A. Turnaround on there is incredible. And Nick Waterhouse has always been a guilty pleasure because he's corny as hell, but his music's kind of nice for a certain mood.
All right. I've got a few to throw out. Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, Mark, do you have any?
I believe he's more than just his associations, but I believe he is a Phoebe Bridgers associate. Christian Lee Hudson, Beginners. Again, like, you have to get into that kind of mindset of I'm going to listen to some very slow music for 40 minutes to an hour, but very enjoyable. Chicago indie rock darlings Rat Boys with Printer's Devil. That's kind of one we probably should have covered, given our Chicago love. But just like as an episode, but yeah, very good. Yeah.
2021.
We got Waxahachie, Caribou, Suddenly. I think this was mentioned at least on an episode. So yeah, nice kind of more like sample heavy.
Yeah.
Like a little more like instrumental, like electronic leaning production. And then shout out Lil Baby, My Turn, who about but that album, going back to it, still holds up and is a lot of fun.
Oh, very fun album. Very, very, very fun album.
Yeah,
Lil Baby. Him and DaBaby. It was the baby.
Getting James Harden in trouble.
For rappers. Yes, he was. So before we close off the episode.
I was going to say, we need to talk about that before we.
I do want to talk about Tame Impala.
I want to
talk about Tame Impala.
About it.
So.
I feel like you took this album personally.
We did, but I think just as we talk about, like, maybe a little bit. I just want to open it up to discussion because we haven't had Taylor on yet this year, and he's a big Tame guy. As we think about it, like, our favorite albums of the year, like, where
so,
no,
did this ever cross your mind?
So for me, I wanted to, and I went back and re-listened to the album twice since we brought it up. I don't think it's a bad album. It's just kind of meh. There's not one or two songs on it that even excite me. I think it's fine background music. His weird remix where it's just super muffled and he's like, yeah, it's the whole album's supposed to sound like you're in the bathroom at a rave, actually kind of makes sense, but that doesn't actually make it better. Just saying like, oh, it's supposed to be muffled as background noise and you're not supposed to actually be listening to it. I mean, you make an album to be listened to. So
yeah, it seems like a convenient reason to yeah, I don't know. I think it's like a good album. I think I enjoyed it more than both of you guys actually. But I don't think if you release an album and it's not a prestigious Earbuds top 10, that's not anything to beat yourself up over.
And we talked about like Run the Jewels and how
well said, Mark. Well said.
Even their fourth album is very, very good, and it goes to show like how great they are. Tame Impala is the same way, where pretty much every year they've released an album that's been in my top 10, and this is the first one that hasn't. And I don't know if it's just because I have such expectations of them. If this was their first album, it very well might have made my list, but I don't know. The whole thing just didn't excite me.
There's something to be said.
Yeah.
I was just going to say there's...
I'm hoping that Kevin Parker...
this is tough not doing it in person. Yeah, I'm hoping they like... I was just going to say there's something to be said
You go first. You go first.
Yeah, your expectations for an artist when they're 4 or 5 albums in and like a decade of making music. It's like, what do you want them to do? But
yeah.
And some artists are certainly capable of doing that for a long time. And others are just like, sometimes, like the Future Islands comment is like, sometimes they just go to know what they know. And if you expect that, like, cool.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, I have no other comments on 2020. It was an interesting music year, to say the least. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any closing thoughts? Otherwise, we'll wrap this thing up.
We're going to record next weekend.
We should.
The greatest lie in all of music.
We should record next weekend. This is the fake news. It'd be fun to record again. But anyway, this was fun. This is the best episode of the year, in my opinion. Check out all the albums we talked about. I think we have like relative why we did the podcast. So if you're listening, check those albums out. Yep.
See you guys later.
See you guys.